Journeys from the Land of Jaw, a missional tale. This is chapter 11. I'm Pastor Phil Wyman from The Gathering in Salem, Massachusetts. Following the wild celebration in the rain, the soggy city people filed back into the prophet's house and sat wet, happy, and quietly in their seats. Hushed whispers betraying anticipation for whatever might come next was the only sound in the room. Suddenly, with a rapturous noise which stunned the adventurer and his father, horn blasts sounded loudly in rapid succession with a tune similar to a call to arms. At the trumpeting call, the tall, thin prophet in the white suit and gold shoes entered the podium stage with his arms upraised. The audience shouted and clapped as one with a giant noise. The thunderous applause died away slowly, like thunder rolling down a narrow valley, and the prophet, with arms still upraised, declared boldly, "This morning we have seen Jaw's miracles, and thus saith Jaw, this is just the beginning of great things we shall see this day." The thunderous applause repeated itself, and the prophet continued with many bold declarations of impending miracles, each declaration followed by, if it were possible, even more thunderous applause than the one before. Then the prophet asked for some of the needy, whose desperation required a special touch of Jaw's goodness, to be brought forward for prayer from the prophet. Sad faces and limping bodies were brought one by one to be blessed by the prophet. The first person came forward. He was an old man with a limp and a cane, and he told a story of falling and how he fell on his butt and had been aching ever since the fall a week before. The prophet then yelled like a warrior charging into battle and shouted curses at the old man's pains. Then, with a final shout of great volume and a firm slap on the old man's forehead, the prophet yelled, "Pain in the butt! I command you to die!" And with that, the old man fell down flat and was still as a dead man. The crowd gasped, and a great silence followed as everyone held their breath. Then the prophet shouted with another great shout, "Live and be healed!" And the old man leaped up from the ground and ran around the stage like a beheaded chicken, bumping into walls and the podium and anything else in the way, until at last he slowed down and shook his head, seeming to come back to his senses. "Oh, I'm healed! No pain in the butt, by Jaw!" The old man was elated and was led off stage as the crowd whistled and cheered. The adventurer and his father looked at each other with those big, unbelieving eyes which say nothing and yet say so much. Those eyes which say things like, "I don't believe it," or, "Did you see that?" One after another, individuals came forward with stories of pains or calamities, and one by one the prophet cursed their sorrows and infirmities and made great promises of blessing to them. Then the prophet shouted with a great shout and gave each person a slap on the forehead. One by one, they all fell down like they were dead, and in turn, each ran around the stage bumping into things, only to come to their senses and declare that they were healed, or their hearts were encouraged, or their calamities had come to an end. At the last, a woman and two children were led to the prophet. A voice behind the adventurer whispered out loud, "She comes up for prayer every miracle meeting. When is she just going to get some faith?" The adventurer's father recognized the woman and children as the sad family they met on their way into Greater Faithville. As he wondered where the eldest son was, he saw the gloomy shadow of the teenager scowling in the dark wings of the stage. Like the previous individuals, the prophet yelled curses at the family's calamities and shouted with a great shout and slapped each family member firmly on the forehead. "Tragedy! I command you to die!" With that, the small family fell down as dead, only to jump up at the prophet's next command and run around the stage like three beheaded chickens. The crowd cheered. The eldest son stared at the ground, seething in an anger strong enough to emit distorted, wavy lines of heat above his head. The family was led off stage, and the crowd was left to cheer wildly for the next few minutes. Trumpets blared, drums beat, and the crowd made as much noise as they possibly could. Then, with a sudden short series of blasts from the horns, and with upraised arms of the prophet, the crowd hushed to pin-drop silence. Ushers motioned the adventurer, his father, and Flying Man to come forward to the platform. Flying Man smiled, and his eyes became like big, empty plates waiting for the feast. The adventurer walked to the edge of the platform and was directed to stand at the stairs.
"My dear friends, today we have a traveler, a man on a mission from Jaw, visiting from a distant village. This adventure comes with greetings from Jaw and a message of great goodness and miracle power. Adventuring friend, come and bring us greetings."
The adventurer, his father, and flying man were ushered firmly up the stairs to the platform by the ushers and then pushed into the center of the stage toward the prophet. The tall, thin man in the white suit and gold shoes smiled with a grin which appeared to light up the stage.
"Tell us briefly about your mission from Jaw, my adventuring friend."
And with that announcing question, the adventurer sung a short song about Jaw's goodness. For that is what bards do. The audience gasped with wonder as his voice floated across the great room. He sang of the wonders of Jaw, of Jaw's love for all people, and of his own dream to help find a home in the land of Jaw for the dispossessed people of the world. The city people did not applaud when he finished his song. They did not shout, but they stood blinking like children walking from a dark room into the blinding sunlight of high noon. Some wept quietly for joy, and others simply stood in awe. Time stood still for a moment, and the adventurer simply said, "That is my dream, and we few are looking for others who might feel the same call to adventure." The prophet, in the white suit and gold shoes, stood motionless and looked slightly at a loss for words. Then he shook his head and smiled with an awkward, gleaming, toothy grin as though he were regaining control or composure or even stumbling back to his feet.
Well-spoken words, my adventuring friend.
And looking to the city people, he declared,
"Let us give Jaw a great roar of victory for these words of miraculous power."
And then the prophet let out a great shout of, "Hallelujah!" And with somewhat of a delayed response, the crowd followed with a cheer, which eventually crescendoed to a rowdy volume with some help from the prophet and his ushers. Addressing the crowd, the prophet told the ancient bardic tongue of great beauty, which the adventurer would speak, and with that turned to the adventurer and said,
"No, my adventuring friend, speak to us in your ancient bardic tongue with words of Jaw's power."
The adventurer turned to the audience and said, "Diochen vaurian am ech karedig with chi. Rodin bardam thiu. And quickly, as the adventurer had spoken these words, he was interrupted by the bellowing voice of the prophet.
"By the great gift of interpretation given me by Jaw, I declare the meaning of these words to you. Thus saith Jaw, I will pour miracles and signs and wonders upon you this day. I will beat your enemies to the ground and cause you to prosper with great prosperity."
And many other words of great blessing. The prophet spoke to the city people. He went on for quite some time as the city cheered and the adventurer looked at the prophet with a bit of confusion darting across his face. And when the prophet was done interpreting the bardic tongue by his supernatural gift, the prophet looked to the adventurer and declared,
"And now we will send you, your father, and this man from our own family off with the blessings of Jaw."
A flying man smiled broadly and hopped up and down like a child in a toy store. The adventurer and his father looked at each other with worried surprise. Prophet shouted curses at the demons and proclaimed great miracles through the hands of the adventurer, and then shouted,
"Evil hindering spirits, I command you to die!"
And with that he firmly slapped the adventurer on the forehead. The adventurer staggered back a step and looked at the prophet with large blinking eyes. The crowd gasped and stood silently. The prophet looked back at the adventurer in equal surprise and declared boldly again,
"Evil hindering spirits, I command you to die!"
And even more firmly slapped the adventurer on the forehead. The adventurer withstood the strong slap and looked back at the prophet. The crowd gasped again and twittered among themselves. The prophet looked at the adventurer a third time with exasperation and commanded,
receive the blessings of Jaw!" And he shouted a third time, "Evil, hindering spirits, I command you to die!" And slapped the adventurer even more firmly on the forehead, till he was nearly doubled over backward by the force. But the adventurer remained on his feet, and gently responded, "Yes, I do receive the blessings of Jaw." The fully confused and slightly angry-looking tall, thin man in the white suit and gold shoes scowled at the adventurer and then motioned the ushers to take the three off stage. "May the miracles of Jaw follow you," the prophet declared, and the crowd cheered not so wildly this time, and with a few murmurings mixed in. The three were firmly led to a side exit of the great room by ushers with big painted-on smiles. Along the way, the adventurer caught a glimpse of the eldest son of the sad family looking intently at him and whispering to his mother. Once directed outside the small side door of the prophet's great room, the traveler stood blinking in the sun.
"Woo-hoo! What was surely a miracle time! Did you hear the prophet interpret that language of yours with such power?"
Flying Man was shouting and dancing in place with excitement. But that wasn't what I said," the adventurer responded. I merely said thank you and introduced myself as a bard from Jaw, bringing good news." A Flying Man looked stumped and confused for a moment, but never one to be discouraged from a miracle, said confidently, "Well,
it must have been what Jaw wanted to say."
Then Flying Man proceeded to dance around with joy, oblivious to all else. The adventurer's father looked to his son and whispered, "Are you sure it's wise to take him with us?" The adventurer responded with a calm concern, "No, I'm not so sure it is wise. But then, it was wisdom that kept us from traveling beyond our village borders for so many years." Father nodded, and the three began heading to Flying Man's house to retrieve their provisions for the journey. Before they could make it out of sight of the prophet's house, they heard a shout behind them, and the eldest son of the sad family ran to catch them. The eldest son stopped in front of the travelers and looked to the ground as he spoke. I would like to come with you." And looking back to his family, who were standing in the road looking timidly sheepish, he said, "My family would like to come with you too. We don't belong here anymore." Father looked at his adventurous son, rolled his eyes, and said, I know. Together with Flying Man and the small sad family, the adventurer and his father plodded off to pack for their journey. The end of chapter 11, Journeys from the Land of Jaw, a missional tale.